Hi, it's Evan Pagan. Today I'm speaking with Vishen Lakhiani, the founder of Mind Valley. Mind Valley started out originally as a pure internet company, and eventually Vishen turned it into a publishing company. He now has a staff of 40 people. They publish 20 different websites. Their focus is personal growth for individuals and for families. And last year, Vishen's company made a big leap. They went from $4.5 million in revenue to $9 million, doubling in 1 year. And what we're going to talk about is some of Vishen's ideas for growing a business and specifically for growing a team and recruiting, growing talent, and really boosting their productivity. So welcome, Vishen.
Hi, Evan. It's an honor to be here. I'm a big fan of your Get Altitude program.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So tell us a little bit about Mind Valley and how you got started and, you know, kind of what the business is today.
Okay, well, basically, I was working in a sales team in New York. And what happened was I was trying to start a company in Silicon Valley. My timing was horrible. It was April 2001. The dot-com bubble had just exploded. 14,000 people were laid off. I lost my business. And no one was really hiring in the Valley. So the only job I could get was that of a commission-only sales rep, essentially dialing for dollars. Basically, if I didn't make a sale, I didn't get to eat. I didn't make any money. Now, I come from a technology background. My degree is in computer engineering from the University of Michigan. And as I went through that sales gig, I realized that I completely sucked at marketing and sales. And I realized that a lot of my previous businesses had failed because I was so focused on the technology, I hadn't bothered to learn things such as building a team, hiring, recruiting, training people. This was a huge eye-opener for me. Now, after 2 years working in this business, I managed to grow myself to such a degree where I was one of their top salespeople. And one of the ways that I managed to get to this level was through a program I took called the Silva Method. So the Silver Method is essentially a meditation class, and they teach you concepts such as how to get in, how to get centered, how to focus on your goals, how to enhance your intuition. Now, I know a lot of this may sound hokey, but what happened was after taking this class, there was an immediate boost in my sales. Normally, when you're in sales, your performance tends to grow slowly but surely. Mine literally doubled 1 week after the class, and it doubled again, and it doubled again. And at the end of 5 months from the time I took this Silva Method class, I'd been promoted 3 times, and I was now director of sales. The company sent me to run their New York office. So 2 things had happened here. Number one, I'd realized the importance of sales and marketing, but I also realized how personal growth was so valuable to improving your performance in a business. Now, after another 1.5 years at the company, I grew bored of the job, and I decided to strike out on my own and be an entrepreneur. And the first product I tried to market was the Silva Method, because it, of course, had caused me to grow by so much. I wanted to see how much I could do in sales just following regular internet marketing advice I found online. I bought books and programs by many of the greats back in 2001, people like the late Corey Ruddle, people like Jay Abraham and Yannick Silva. And I slapped on a little website online. I made a loss my first couple of months. But at the end of that first 1 year, I generated $40,000 in sales and made around a tidy sum of around $20,000 in profit for myself. Okay, so that's essentially how Mind Valley started. Now, flash forward 6 years later, we're now doing $9 million in sales. We have a staff of 40 people. We just won an award, World's Most Democratic Workplace. We're considered one of the top companies to work with in our city. I get more speaking offers and requests for press interviews than I can handle. And I'd say I lead a pretty good life. For example, in May this year, I spent 21 of the 30 days in that month on islands around the world. I spent 9 days in Cabo with my family. I spent 6 days in Necker Island with a group of entrepreneurs where we were hanging out with Richard Branson. I spent another 10 days with Tony Robbins in his private resort in Fiji. And in that month, I only walked into my office 6 days, 6 days of May. Yet that month, we had a record sales month, and we had our single biggest sales day in the history of the company. And all of that happened while I was hanging out in the beach in Fiji. And what had essentially happened in those 6 years is I'd learned to grow a business, but I'd also learned to automate the business, hire the right people, train them really well, and put them through a stage of personal growth where I could essentially clone myself. Now, my biggest takeaway from that was it wasn't the marketing. Ultimately, it wasn't the marketing. The marketing certainly helped me start, but it was personal growth. It was investing in my employees, investing in myself, and using that was really the way we were able to double our company in the last 1 year.
That's fantastic. Talk a little bit about your approach to personal growth. And I mean, one of the things that you say that I haven't heard many people say is that you specialize in personal growth for families.
Yes.
You know, before we dig into the business stuff, why is personal growth important? Why is personal growth for families important?
Well, let me take a step back. Before I come to families, let me tell you why I believe personal growth is so important. When I was a salesperson selling technology to lawyers, I read a ton of books on sales and marketing. I read Influence by Cialdini was a great influence on me. I studied all the Brian Tracy stuff, and those books helped me improve my sales. But the real leap happened when I focused on my mindset. And that's what I got from the Silva Method. It was really an understanding on the power of focusing on mindset. And from the Silva Method, I started studying other programs that focused on mindset, programs by people such as Harv Eker, Esther and Jerry Hicks, John Ashraf. And I found that the greatest leaps that happened to me financially happened because of my mindset. Now, let me give you an example. Around May of last year, my business was losing money. May, June, July, Mike and I were freaking out. We were bleeding money as a company. We had 18 employees. We had just moved to a new office. Sales were stagnant. We had hit a glass ceiling. We were on track to do maybe 2.5 million by the end of the year. Now, this is 2008. We attended a seminar by a man called Harv Eker. The seminar was called The Millionaire Mind Intensive. And essentially what Harv spoke of is that all wealth is really a product of mindset. It's not about your knowledge or who you're connected to. Those are certainly important, but ultimately it is mindset. In fact, knowledge and your connections are only valuable because they influence your mindset. Now, Mike and I, in the first day of that seminar, the question going through our head is, this is absolute BS. Why are we here? We need to be in the office. We're bleeding money. Why are we wasting 10 hours on a Friday listening to this guy go on and on and on and on and on about the importance of a wealth mindset? And we wanted to walk out. By day three, Mike was in tears. I had gone through major revelations. And the very next month, we had our first profitable month in around 3 or 4 months. Now, the important thing is, that profit continued. And by the end of that, for the remaining 6 months of that year, rather than hit 2.5 million, we hit 4.5 million. Our company simply exploded. But what we realized was the reason it exploded was because Mike and I had switched our mindset. We hadn't tried new marketing things. We were not looking at new business strategy. It was a shift in our wealth mindset. When that happened, the marketing ideas literally fell on our lap. The contacts that we needed to grow our business literally walked in through the door. And things exploded. And that's when it dawned upon us that the real key to growing a business is focusing on the mindset of yourself and your employees. So for the subsequent year, which is 2009, we focused on the mindset of our employees. And once again, we doubled the business. So 2008 was supposed to be a year where we were only going to make 2.5 million. We hit 4.5 million. 2009, we doubled it to 9 million. Next year, we're looking to double it again. But once again, it all came from this careful approach to crafting people's mindset. So why is it that we are focused on personal growth for individuals and for families? As our business grew, I became a father in the last 2 years, and I started wondering, well, if mindset is so important to business, how important could it be to families, to the growth of my child? So I started looking into programs that worked with parents and kids to basically teach kids to grow up with a healthy mindset. By this, I mean, the right amount of self-esteem, self-confidence, belief in themselves, even programs that teach kids concepts such as meditation or goal setting or thinking big. And we started a company recently called Mind Valley Parenting. It's a spin-off of our main company that's focused on spreading personal development ideas to families and parents.
Hmm. When we're talking about mindset, I agree with you 100%, and I've spent a lot of years myself thinking about mindset and my mindset and teaching mindset and what have you. Most people don't realize that, you know, the way they see things is not the way that they actually are, and that it's it's impossible to see things the way they actually are. We can just get better and better and maybe a more accurate perspective, but we can never really see them as they are. And we've got this, you might call it a paradigm or almost like a set of glasses we have on in our head that allow us to look at any situation. And that sometimes just by changing those glasses and just changing the way we look at things and the, you know, the mindset that we have, it actually changes them, because to your brain, you know, your mindset is what's going on out there. So that's a very profound insight.
Right. And what you just said, Eben, reminds me of a quote. And the quote goes like this: learn to manage your mind. Do not let the situation lure you into negative thinking. Sometimes you'll fail, but you will learn for the next time. Every time a negative thought comes at you, zap it. Replace it with a positive thought. That takes energy, but the result will be stamina, positive stamina, a necessary ingredient for success. Now, every time I share that quote with someone and I ask them, who do you think this came from? They go, John Ashraf, Esther and Jerry Hicks, one of the guys from The Secret. But actually, this quote on positive stamina comes from Donald Trump. And It just goes to show that some of the biggest guys out there follow this principle. Now, by me, I what I'd like to do is actually define what I mean by mindset.
That would be fantastic. Please give us your definition.
So I believe when I talk about mindset, I'm really talking about two things. Now, really, it's the art of putting yourself in a state of flow. A state of flow is really, Wikipedia defines it this way. It's a mental state of operation in which the person is fully immersed in what he or she is doing by a feeling of energized focus, full involvement, and success in the process of activity. Okay, that's Wikipedia's definition. I like to add on to that. I believe when you're in a state of flow, literally your impact is magnified. The right opportunities, the right ideas, the right people literally walk into your life to help you achieve your goal. Some might call it the law of attraction, some might call it coincidences, some might call it synchronicity. It doesn't matter. What happens is opportunities, ideas literally fall on your lap. Now, flow to me is made up of two things. The first thing is your feelings and emotions about the present. And the second is your visions and ideas about the future. So it's present feelings, future vision. It's really a combination of those two things. Now, someone who is has poor feelings of the present, in other words, they are sad or unhappy about their current life, and they have no vision of the future, they are basically in a state called a negative spiral. They are not happy in the now, and they have no vision for the future. Present and future both at a low. Then you have people who are in what is called a current reality trap. In other words, they are happy right now, but they have no vision of their future. Now, you might think this is a good situation, but it really isn't, because if you're happy right now, but you have no vision for the future, your life is basically going to stay stagnant. I mean, you're no more better off than someone who is basically a junkie on a high right now, but really not contributing to the world or growing as an individual. And growth and contribution are two really powerful needs of the human psyche. I mean, according to people like Tony Robbins. Now, there's a third category, which is called stress and anxiety. And this is where most entrepreneurs are at. They have grand visions of the future. They know they want to get their business to 10 million or 100 million. They have a vision of that future office, of the future client, of the kind of money they want to bring in, the car they want to drive. But in this scenario, that first piece, their emotions and their happiness in the present, that's what's missing. So they are unhappy right now, but they have the vision. That is the situation I'd say 90% of entrepreneurs are in, and it's called stress and anxiety. Now, the ideal state, the state of flow, is where you're happy right now and you have a vision of the future. Now, what this really means is you're happy with the journey. You're proud of your business the way it is right now. You're enjoying what you do. You're passionate when you wake up every morning and walk in through that door. You are in a comfortable state of positive expectancy. And you know that, and you have these serious goals, these major visions of where you want your business to be in the future. Now, here's the catch. It's called the paradox of intention. You have to have these big goals, but your happiness cannot be tied to these goals. You must be happy before you attain your goals. Now, this is what most entrepreneurs forget. They are unhappy because they have yet to attain their goals. This puts them in stress and anxiety. When you're in flow, you have your big goals. You have that target to make $1 million a year, to drive that Merce, to have a killer company. But You're happy right now as you're working towards your goals. And it's this happiness in the present, your emotions right now, that cause you to go in a state of flow, that cause you to magnify your impact. Now, if you've seen the movie The Secret, Bob Proctor, I believe, in The Secret, he reveals this equation. Thoughts plus emotions equals attraction. And if you think about it, it's really similar to the equation for flow that I just talked about. When Bob Proctor talks about thoughts, what he's talking about is your visions of the future. When he talks about emotions, he's talking about your feelings of the present, you being happy right now. So whether you believe in the law of attraction or you believe in the science of flow, the equation really is the same. You have to be happy in the now, and you have to have big freaking visions of what you want to accomplish in the future. Now, it's this feeling of flow that I make sure I put myself in on a daily basis. I call this concept blissipline. It's the discipline of making sure that every single day, your most important state of mind is being in a state of bliss. Blissipline. And we take this concept of blissipline, I apply it to myself, and I also apply it to the people in my company. So I've crafted a pretty unique company where people just love coming to work every morning. And the average age of my employees is maybe 24, 25. A lot of people don't know this, but my company is based in Southeast Asia. But we've created this environment where people are in a state of blissipline, and it's created this huge magnetic attraction towards our business. So we have people from 21 different countries who have left their country, moved to Southeast Asia, and work with me in my office over here.
So maybe this is fantastic stuff. And what what comes up for me now is I'd love to know, how do you use this information then to build a company? Right? What do you do inside your business, especially with your people, to apply this knowledge to build a successful company and build a successful team?
Okay, well, the first thing is, you have to remember this fact. As an entrepreneur, the single most important thing you can do is to be in a state of blissipline, to make sure that you have big goals, but right now you're emotionally happy, confident, and really enjoying the journey. Okay? Detach your happiness from your goal. This puts you in this almost peaceful, zen-like state where the opportunities come to you. Now, a lot of the principles we do in the day-to-day management of the company focuses first on blissipline, second on processes and innovation and everything else. So I know what I'm teaching here is a little bit different from, say, what people might learn in business school, but I swear it works for me. Now, I'll give you one example. We used to have a thing in our company called the weekly company meeting. So everyone would assemble. And we'd go through our progress for the week. We'd talk about our goals, our deadlines, and it was boring as hell. I would literally see people nod off to sleep during this meeting. We decided to scrap it, and we changed it to a meeting called the Awesomeness Report. And basically what happens is the Awesomeness Report has become so successful that celebrity guests now come in to witness these meetings. Yannick Silver learned about it, and he shared it with everyone on his email list. And other companies are now following this meeting process. In 3 days from now, I'm speaking to the public telephone company in Estonia about how they can incorporate this meeting process with their employees. But here's how it works. The Awesomeness Report is basically designed to put people in a state of discipline. So we start the report with a celebration of the past week's successes. Why celebration? Because when you're expressing gratitude and celebration for your past successes, you put yourself in a state of happiness. Okay, so I send an email out to my team and I say, folks, you know the drill. Awesomeness report is tomorrow. Send me the list of your awesome experiences. And people will write back to me by email and they'll send me maybe photos or pictures of a trip they took over the weekend or a new sales target that they hit or a new website that launched, which is having a terrific conversion page, or a big new client that was roped in, or a joint venture partner that just mailed for us. Or it could be something personal. Someone just had a baby, or someone just, you know, got engaged. Now, these pictures, these emails flow in, and I put them together in a very funny, humorous PowerPoint presentation. So we start the Awesomeness Report with a bang, loud music, everyone is cheering, and then we go to slide by slide by slide, celebrating our experiences for the last 1 week. What are we doing? We are taking care of the first essential ingredient to being in a state of flow, putting our entire team in a state of gratitude and appreciation. So we express gratitude for our successes of the previous week. We express appreciation to people in the company who did something cool that prior week. So everyone is really excited and happy. Towards the end of the report, we focus on the second ingredient. And remember, I said that's vision for the future. So Mike, who's my business partner, and I will share some vision of where we want to take the company in the future. We might talk about the new office space that we are building that's going to become available in 6 months. We might talk about this big new client that we are going to bring in, or this beautiful new project that we are doing, or a new philosophy of running the business. Our last vision for the future that we shared with our employee was a commitment to move away from what we call douchey marketing, which is where you use false triggers or exaggerations in your sales copy to sway the emotions of a customer. We decided we are good enough to do it while being to market while being completely transparent to our customers and being honest about it. So this was an example of a beautiful vision of that inspires people. And we wanted to get it out there to our team. So we always start with appreciation and gratitude. We end with a vision. And that's the formula for the awesomeness report. And when the report is done, it takes maybe 30 to 40 minutes. The entire team, all 44 people in my team, sit down together and I take them through a 5-minute guided meditation exercise where I have them visualize their perfect day 2, 3 months from now. We pick a target. So in our last report, we picked February 1st, 2010. And they start by visualizing waking up in the morning, coming to work, visualizing the perfect work day, perfect lunch with a colleague, visualizing the end of the day and the accomplishments at that day, going home, visualizing their January salary check coming in and their January bonus coming in and seeing a massive bonus. As a side note, we share our profits with employees. 10% of our profits is shared with our employees. So when the company has a good month, the employees earn a huge bonus. So as you can see, the entire company meeting process has been transformed, and instead it becomes a celebration of gratitude, appreciation, and a vision building exercise. And we do this every single week. If you walk into our office at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, you will walk into 44 people meditating together on cushions. And that's part of our regular workday. Now, the Awesomeness Report has become so popular that we have guest speakers coming in. We just had John Rhys pop by. We had John Ashraf. We had Robin Sharma, the author of The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. Our last report, we had Max Simon from who used to be with the Chopra Center. Now, these people, mind you, are from America. When they are in Asia, they pop by my office to attend the Awesomeness Report, to speak, to witness it, just because there's so much energy in that room that even guests get inspired.
That's fantastic vision. Sounds like let's just say, a little bit different meeting than most people are having in corporate America, huh?
Absolutely. And let me tell you the results, some empirical results. Every year, there's a company called WorldBlue, and they offer a service to businesses where they allow your employees to go through an anonymous survey to rank the company on different criteria: job satisfaction, bond with management, personal growth that they're going through, transparency, engagement with the company. And in 2008, we were the first Asian company to win that award. 2009, we were one of two Asian companies to win that award. And so right now, we are considered one of the world's most democratic workplaces. But a large chunk of it, and a large chunk of the reason our employees are so happy with their work environment, is because of things like the Awesomeness Report, where we make sure to extend that idea of discipline and make sure that our employees are going through that same process. Now, you may be a one-man business. The same principle applies. If you're in a state of discipline, you're going to magnify your impact. You may be a business where you're outsourcing. Once again, the same principle applies. Discipline with your outsourcing partners and yourself. I'd like to share one more thing that we do, Eben, because this is particularly relevant to people who are running solo businesses or running businesses where they don't have employees but they outsource. It's a simple software tool that we built internally for our company usage. It got so popular, we just released it publicly and it's now growing exponentially. And that tool is called Gratitude Log. It's a website. Go to gratitudelog.com. GratitudeLog.com, Gratitude Log, and it's free. And basically, see, what happened was, as our company grew, Mike and I realized that appreciation was something that employees craved so much. And it wasn't just employees, it was our partners, the people we outsource to. People want to know when they're doing a good job. It helps put them in a state of bliss. Yet, as our company grew, we knew that often we could not always monitor all 44 staff and know the right words to say to them on a weekly basis. So we decided to see if we could democratize the concept of appreciation. So we built a little software app where anyone in our company can get online and send a cute little thank you gift to someone else in the company. And that gift could be normally something cheesy like a golden star or a cupcake or Wonder Woman's brassiere or pony or Yoda or a lightsaber, ranging from extremely effeminate to extremely geeky to extremely masculine. Really funny, awkward gifts. And employees loved it. On a good day, 40 notes of appreciation get sent out from members of my team to other members of my team. And we found when we did this, a lot of drama and BS and politics that used to be in our workplace instantly disappeared. So we loved this idea. Then we thought, well, we can extend this process. We had read about this concept called gratitude logging, where if you start your day logging down 5 things that have made you happy in the last 24 hours, you start your day on a high. And studies have shown that if you do this for 30 days straight, at the end of 1 month, you are 25% happier than normal. So we decided to encourage our employees to do gratitude logging. Then we put both together and we created this website called Gratitude Log, where essentially people get online and slightly looks like Twitter, but rather than answer, what are you doing today? You answer, what am I grateful for today? And people write down things they're grateful for. So you write down things you're grateful for, you follow your friends so you can see what they are grateful for, and you get to send tokens of appreciation to your friends, your colleagues, your family. It's been taking off like a storm. We have all our employees on there, and then we got our partners on there and the authors we publish on there. And now we have 10,000 customers on there. Literally 10,000 of our customers are now on Gratitude Log, directly connected to our employees, to me, to Mike, to our partners, people like Sean Stevenson, John Asharaf, Brian Johnson. And we've created this community of gratitude. It's beautiful because in our company, you start your day by going to this little website, which we now call the happiest place on the internet. And when you log on, you see things that have made your colleagues happier in the last 24 hours. You write down what has made you happy. You send a token of appreciation to someone that has delighted you in the last week or 24 hours. And the effect has just been amazing. So I want to encourage the listeners to try this out.
That's fantastic. So walk us through it.
Okay. Basically, go to gratitudelog.com, open up an account. As soon as you open up an account, you'll be sent an email. Click on the link in the email to activate your account. This entire process, I swear, takes 2 minutes. You will then be given a list of recommended people to follow. They include me, they include Mike, they include people like Sean Stevenson, John Asharaf, Max Simon, as well as Jason Mraz, the singer of the song I'm Yours. He's big on this and he just joined. Follow us, and immediately you come to your Gratitude Log page and go ahead and just write down a couple of things you're grateful for. Log in every morning. You'll be able to see me write down, share things I'm grateful for. People like Jason Mraz, John Asharaf write down what they're grateful for and just join that conversation. And instantly you'll find that other people in the community will find you and will start responding to your updates, adding you as a friend, sending you tokens of appreciation. About half the people who get on this get hooked and they start bringing in their colleagues and their family and their kids and their business partners. And really, once you have 3 or 4 friends on this, it becomes a daily practice. And you start wanting to go there automatically just to see your friends' updates and to share updates with your friends. I mean, Evan, you have this quote, the 5 closest people you hang out with will average out to who you become. I remember you said this at Engage Now when I saw you speak in Calgary. And really, this is a way of doing this. When you get on Gratitude Log and you get your network and your friends on there, you get to strike a bigger bond with them. And their positive energy, their positive vibes, their positive stamina, as Donald Trump puts it, gets seen and experienced by you. And in a way, it uplifts you.
Okay, Vishen. So in addition to these inspiring meetings, you know, the awesomeness report and so forth, what are some of the other things you do to, you know, create the kind of culture that helps you grow this business? I know that you're recognized a lot for your culture. Love to get some more insight into that.
Awesome. Well, here's the thing. When I first started out this company, Evan, for the first 4 years, I grew at a ridiculously slow rate. I mean, I mentioned I started this around December 2002. So it was 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7. 2008, as I mentioned, which was maybe our 6th year of operation, we were on the verge of hitting only 2.5 million. That was pathetic. I mean, it's nice to have a business and be above $1 million, but after 6 years, we'd grown so slowly. Now, I had to look back and ask myself, what was I doing wrong? And one of the things I realized was that the employees that I was hiring, often they were a bad match or was hiring the wrong people, or we were hiring people but not really focusing on growing them. So in other words, someone would come in as customer support and stay doing customer support, whereas Mike and I would be running around doing the marketing. Now, the problem that you hit there is if you're trying to grow your company, you hit a situation where you have all the knowledge internally, but you are unable to clone yourself. I have some 20 different websites. There's no way I can grow all these websites at a fast pace, if it was only me doing it. So I had to think of ways I could turn my employees into miniature versions of myself. And that's been our focus for the last 1 year. So what I'm going to share now is a couple of strategies that we use to increase the impact of your employees. Now, keep in mind that if you're running a solo business, these same strategies will help you improve your impact. Okay, but it's really about attracting the right people, retaining them by keeping them happy, and then putting them through a cycle of accelerated growth. Now, as I was interviewing people, I had a revelation. I realized that the smartest, brightest people I spoke to, they did not care about money. My interview would always start with me trying to sell people on the money, the opportunity, but it wasn't the money that motivated them most. Number one, it was knowledge. It was the opportunity to learn. The second motivator is fun. People want to have fun in their job. The third motivator is money. And the fourth motivator is making an impact on the world, giving back to humanity. So when we recognize this, that it's learning, followed by fun, followed by money, followed by making an impact on the world, we changed the way we did marketing. If you go to mindvalley.com/careers, you'll see what I think is one of the best written job ads out there because it pulls like crazy. And I have people from 21 different countries working for me because our company's become so attractive that I no longer just have to recruit from the local market. I literally get applicants from all around the world. Really, really, really brilliant, good applicants. I have entrepreneurs who have their own business who apply, want to come and work for me full time just so they can learn in the Mindvalley space. And if you go to mindvalley.com/careers, feel free to swipe and model that job ad. You'll notice that the ad is written unlike traditional job ads, but it's designed to appeal to these four emotional needs, the deeper emotional needs of job prospects: learning, fun, money, and then contribution to the world. So we craft our company culture to give people attention in these four areas. Number one, learning is a massive, massive, massive part of the company. So we have a rule here called the 45-5 rule. And what it simply means is that we expect you to work 45 hours a week, which is about normal. But 5 of those 45 hours, you have to spend focused on learning and growing. So someone could spend 5 hours on a Sunday, curled up in bed, reading a book on personal growth or on meditation or on goal setting. And it qualifies as company time and you get paid for it. And people love this. There's this huge focus on learning. We also invested in a company library. It includes all sorts of marketing products, entrepreneurship products, Get Altitude, and pretty much everything you've released, Eben, is part of our library. We've purchased them and we share them with our employees, and employees get access to a series of multiple terabyte drives that they can just plug in their laptops to, download anything they want. And if they wanted to, they could spend an entire Friday sitting at home or sitting in their local Starbucks focused on learning. They do not have to do. Our copywriting team, for example, they have a rule where on Fridays they will not work. They simply focus on growing themselves as marketers. So this rule, the 45-5 rule, has had an amazing effect on our business. A lot of people get so focused on just doing the day-to-day work that they have no time to learn, grow, and innovate. What I really believe is that if you invest in innovation very rapidly and growth, self-growth, very rapidly, the impact of your work accelerates because you become a far better marketer or techie or customer support person or operations manager. And that's been part of our culture. Now, in addition to the 45-5 rule, we also do a couple of things such as several training sessions every single week. Every Thursday, we have a marketing training session where employees who have learned something new through a book or through a course that they did get in front of our other employees, and they spend 10 to 15 minutes summarizing their key learning. And so one person may study Get Altitude, a particular DVD from Get Altitude, and they now get in front of the group and they summarize and share the contents of that with everyone else, with all 40-something people. And so the learning gets to spread really, really, really rapidly. And we also put our employees through some really intense, crazy exercises. Yesterday, we did this. We took 20 employees. Now, this was yesterday. We had Max Simon visiting us. Max Simon runs a company in LA called Get Self-Centered, and he teaches meditation to companies and groups. So Max Simon came to visit us, and I asked him to take my team through a really interesting exercise. We had 20 people walk into a public mall in Malaysia at the Petronas Twin Towers, which at one point were the tallest buildings in the world. We walked into a mall, and Max would drop a keyword, and 20 employees who had just gone through Max's meditation class had to drop on the floor, go cross-legged, and meditate for 10 minutes in a mall with thousands of people walking around them. And they couldn't move, they couldn't open their eyes till they got kicked out by security or till Max gave the password to get up and walk out. We got busted by security, so we had to leave after 9 minutes. But the point of the whole exercise was to teach our employees, many of whom had never been exposed to meditation, was to teach them how to go into a deep state of meditation and then how to do it in such a way where you can be surrounded by commotion and still be in a state of peace and concentration. And of course, there are powerful applications to that when they bring that back to work. Studies have shown that if you meditate in the morning, you tend to be more powerful and impactful in your day-to-day job. So that was the whole point. So it's the 45-5 rule where people study on their own. It's weekly training. And it's also situations where we actually have experts come in and take our employees through these experiences. A couple of weeks back, we flew 45 people to Bali. We flew down Sean Stevenson from Chicago to Bali, and we had people spend 3 days with Sean Stevenson in Bali, and it was an amazing experience. And once again, when we came out of that, my team was so much tighter, so much they had a renewed sense of confidence, self-esteem, bond with each other, and it just had an amazing effect on our business. So those three things cover the first rule, which is learning. So the second concept, and this is the second reason why smart people join your company or choose to work with you, it's because of the atmosphere of fun that you create for them. And fortunately, fun is really easy to do. We noticed that a lot of really bright people, programmers or marketers, do their best work from home. Many of our programmers, we found, they are most productive after 9 p.m. working from home. Many of our best marketers are most productive when they are sitting in a Starbucks with their mocha latte frappuccino with no whip writing their copy. So to create this atmosphere of relaxed, focused fun, we have something called flexi time. So in other words, employees can choose to come in the office whenever they want, whenever they have a team meeting, but otherwise they can work from home or from Starbucks or work late nights or work while traveling. This Christmas, we have a lot of our employees flying home to the United States or Canada. Many of them are working from their little Rocky Mountain ski lodge holiday with their friends. And that's perfectly okay with us, you know, as long as the work gets turned in. So flexi time is one important thing which I'd encourage entrepreneurs to adopt. The second thing is creating a quirky culture where you are able to bring fun to the workplace. So here are a couple of things we do. We have a bell hanging in our... Now, our company actually operates out of a house, not an office. We rent a bungalow house in a nice neighborhood in Malaysia. Everyone works from this home. Our meetings are done in the living room. We have this huge brass bell hanging on a wall. And the bell is called the bell of awesomeness that is only to be rung in moments of sheer and total awesomeness. And it's against company policy to refer to it simply as the bell. You have to call it by its full name. The bell of awesomeness that is only to be rung in moments of sheer and total awesomeness. And any employee who has broken a record, whether it's a sales record or a conversion record, or they brought in a big major client, we ring that bell for them. And the bell gets rung maybe twice a week maximum. But if you get the bell rung for you, it is an awesome honor. People remember that for the rest of their lives. And the bell of awesomeness has been a huge addition to our company culture. Why? Because when someone hits a new goal, we want to lock that moment in time. We ring the bell. Everybody claps for them. That person's mindset just got shifted. They just locked in time that memory of success, and odds are they're now going to replicate it because it's part of their self-image. Now, a couple of other quirky things that we do is we have a statue of Wonder Woman. It's a marble statue. It's body painted. So it's a statue of a naked woman that we body painted to be dressed up as Wonder Woman. Somewhat erotic. But it's a dominant piece in our office, and any new employee or any visitor who comes into the office, like John Ashraf showed up a couple of months back, and they have to take something called the Oath of Awesomeness on Wonder Woman's ass before they can sit in through our meeting. So John Ashraf or anyone else has to place their hand on Wonder Woman's head or buttocks or torso or boobs, raise their right hand, and read an Oath of Awesomeness, which is basically something funny that we make up uniquely for each specific individual. So, and you know, it's slightly embarrassing, it's funny, they always have a funny look on their face, but the employees have a great laugh when they see someone like Robin Sharma or John Ashraf or John Rhys going through this Oath of Awesomeness, and it's part of our culture. And this Oath of Awesomeness also represents our day-to-day way of operating, being awesome in body, mind, spirit, being a valuable contribution to your teammate, kicking butt in everything you do. It's our company language. And of course, then there are the parties. Our parties are legendary. Every Halloween, we toss this massive Halloween party. Oh, and here's another idea I'd like to suggest. I actually got this from Richard Branson. Branson, in his book, Business Laid Bare, he talks about the situation where he opened up a call center for Virgin Mobile somewhere in the north of England. And he hired 2,000 people for his call center. And because he believes in fun in the workplace, he decided to toss a party for his call center people. And that party got a little bit out of hand. So the very next day, the press covered the party, and the press basically said it was disgusting. There were people fornicating in the parking lots. And Branson read that, and he was, oh my God, this is so going to ruin Virgin's reputation. That was his initial thought. But the very next day, he had several thousand people turn in applications for that call center. And he realized that fun is such a basic human drive, and it's so lacking in so many workplaces. If you do it well, people want to be associated with your company. So in our case, what we did was we killed our job ads. You know the job ads that you put up on Monster.com and Hot Jobs, and you get hundreds of resumes from often mediocre people who are just blasting their resumes out to every opportunity? We kill that. Instead, every Halloween, we do a Halloween party, and we tell our employees, we want you to bring in the four smartest, most brilliant people you know. It doesn't matter if they work for another company. We want you to bring them into this exclusive party. So we have 40 employees. They each bring in 3 to 4 people. We have about 150 to 200 people show up for this Halloween party. And we make sure people have this wild, crazy, ridiculous time. We found that the cost of putting up the Halloween party is maybe around twice the price of a job ad. Just twice. It's not that much more expensive. The bars give us their space for free because they want us to bring in guests. But here's the magic that happens, Evan. You see, the smartest people out there already have jobs. They're not going to be going through job ads. It's the unemployed people who are often and I mean this with respect, but it's often the unemployed people or the people who were the weakest links in their companies and they recently got laid off. Of course, sometimes you get laid off, you may be a superstar, but your company is suffering. But you know, in many companies, sometimes it's the weakest links that get laid off. So when you put up a job ad, what happens is you get these applicants. The smart, brilliant people often have their own careers, their own jobs. Those are the people I want working for me. So I don't do job ads, I do parties. These smart people show up for a Halloween party, they meet my staff, and here's what happened. Brilliant people, A players, love being around other A players. When they meet my staff and they see how amazing these people are, something goes through their head. They ask themselves, why aren't I working for Mindvalley? And at the end of the Halloween party, I get on stage, I'm slightly maybe drunk at this point, and I make an announcement about that we are hiring. I state the position and I say it, and I give out my email address and I say, shoot me an email. And I get 5 to 10 emails come in, and I end up hiring some amazing people off other companies. So I use parties to basically, I don't want to use the word steal, but I'm going to use it anyway, to steal employees, top performers from other companies to have them come and join Mindvalley. Because we give them something that they aren't getting in their other workplaces. Fun, opportunity to interact with other brilliant people, and a chance to grow. Okay, so that's how we incorporate fun in the workplace.
Do you, at the parties, do you also go outside when you're making that announcement and yell to all the people that might be fornicating in the cars? I mean, don't want to leave anyone out.
I let them be.
Okay, I gotcha. So they might not be the A players.
Well, you know, you never know. I'm not making judgments on that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going.
Okay, so we've talked about fun. Now let's talk about money. So here's one thing I found. I believe a lot in the concept of profit sharing. I learned this from actually Jack Canfield. I was having dinner with Jack Canfield. He's the guy from the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. And he was telling me about how in his company, 15% of profits are shared with his employees. I thought it was a brilliant idea. We had thought about trying it, but we were doing it somewhat half-heartedly. At that point, I decided, because I respect Jack so much, I decided to go ahead and do it full scale. So every month, 10% of our profits get distributed to employees. Now, we used to have a normal Silicon Valley model where people had stock options. That model sucked because, firstly, stock options to many employees don't mean jack. I worked for a Silicon Valley company. I had stock options. They were all underwater. They did not motivate me. But when you're working for a company that's driven on marketing and sales, okay, what we decided to do was take 10% of our monthly profits, share it with employees. So employees know that if they are working hard, if they are really contributing and bringing in sales and revenue and the company's being profitable, they literally see their salary checks double. We have a formula that we've devised where the bonus that you get is a function of your current salary. It's a function of your peer reviews. We do something called a community ranking where employees at the end of every month are given 100 points and they get to allocate these points to their peers based on how well they think the peers have contributed to the company, to the company's goals. So you could give like 50 points to John and 50 to Sally, or you could give like 5 points each to your top 20 people. But based on these point scoring system, at the end of the month, Mike and I know who our top performers are. So people get a bonus based on their salary, based on this community assessment, and based on there's a third factor, which is how long they've been with the company. So it's a simple equation that we devised. And the bonuses can be pretty substantial. Someone in customer support may earn $1,000 extra a month. A senior programmer may earn $6,000-$7,000 additional dollars a month. What I mean to say is Malaysian dollars, not American dollars, or the ringgit, which is still pretty significant if you're operating in Malaysia. So employees love this. Now, I will confess, last month we had some issues with our marketing and we just barely made a profit. And of course, when that happens, people are a little bit down. But people immediately pulled together as a team. They work tighter as a team because they know that. So December, which is currently right now, despite the Christmas season, today, in fact, is actually a public holiday. People are in the office working because they know that part of that profit is going to be shared with them. And they're committed to giving their best to the company because the company's goals, Mike and mine's goals for our finances, our company revenue, is now aligned with the employee goals. And that's really, really, really important to us. So that's how we deal with the money issue. Now, we also deal with the money issue by being located in Malaysia. A lot of American companies feel they have to be based in the US. And to save money, rather than be in a nice city like New York or San Francisco, they move to the Midwest, or not that that's bad, because I spent 4 years growing up in Michigan, but they move to a boring little town where the cost of living is smaller. Well, why do that? Why not move to Costa Rica or Kuala Lumpur or a tiny European island in the Mediterranean? The cost of living is so much less. With the internet, you can be anywhere in the world. And what I've done is in Malaysia, Eben, I've built a company here, and people love being in Malaysia because for $50 and a 3-hour flight, you can be in the beaches of Bali. For $40 and a 1-hour flight, you can be in the Thai paradise islands like Koh Phangan or Phuket. People love this area. It's a beautiful country, high-speed internet access. The food is amazing, the clubbing, the parties, the people here are great. But the fact is, the cost of living here is so low that the average salaries in our company are anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 US a month. Yet people live a richer standard of living, a richer life than they do if I was employing people in the United States. And that's one reason I moved Mindvalley from New York to Malaysia. So I call this geo-arbitrage in terms of building a company and paying employees. We're now setting up an office in Costa Rica. Why? Because it's a tax haven. You don't have to pay taxes for 10 years if you have a technology company. We are buying 20 acres of beachfront property, and we are now going to assemble a team in Costa Rica. And once again, because Costa Rica is such an amazing place to live, why would I ever want to set up an office in San Francisco or New York or Ann Arbor or Seattle? I've lived in all these areas. But frankly, the weather kind of sucks. The cost of living is high. You have traffic jams. I'd rather be on the beach. And the people I attract into my company are smart, brilliant people who just want to get out of the big cities or get out of the US and Canada. And this really appeals to them. And they don't mind working for half the salary that they would earn in New York because they know overall their standard of living is going to be richer and they're going to have a fabulous time. And of course, from a company point of view, it means we save a ton of money on hiring.
That's fantastic.
So my strategy is to never, ever, 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 ever open an office in the US, even though we're an American company and almost 90% of all our clients are based in the United States and 100% of all our partners and all our products are done in the US.
Hmm. So I assume that next we're going to talk about making an impact on the world. I'm using my psychic powers here.
Yes. So here's the other thing that we found that people really, really, really love. And it's a chance to just contribute to the world. So we started something called the Mind Valley Foundation. Bill Clinton wrote a terrific book called Giving.
Giving, yeah.
Giving, right. And he talks about four ways to give. There's money, there's experience, there's time, and there's, what's the fourth one? Do you remember?
I don't.
Experience, time, and it could be influence or something along those lines. Anyway, the exact four is not important. The important thing is a lot of people think to contribute, you have to give money. And that's certainly true. And we have donated a lot of money to charity. But we started a foundation where employees could use their experiences to help other nonprofits. So people donate their time as media editors or marketing specialists or website builders. And we have built websites for nonprofits that needed help. We have offered marketing expertise to nonprofits that needed help with that. In Malaysia, there's this issue with Burmese refugees. It's a very sensitive issue. As you know, Burma is a dictatorship. People there are often not treated well, and these people leave on boats, and they sail to Malaysia and Australia and Singapore. And the Burmese refugees here are protected by the United Nations, but otherwise they live in fear and they live in poverty. And our employees work with these refugees during their free time. For example, Justina, she's one of our senior managers. On the side, she makes jewelry and she sells her jewelry through her own personal website. So she goes to the refugee camps and she teaches the refugee woman how to make jewelry and then sell them in public markets. Our designer, his name is Wuhan, his wife's name is Michelle. She has a company that makes luxury soaps. So she goes to the refugee camps, she teaches them how to make soap and again, how to sell these soap and generate revenue. So they're working with these refugee women. We are teaching them how to earn a living. And we're teaching them how to control their finances. And we're working with the refugee kids. We are trying to raise money to build a shelter for them because many of these kids don't get to go to school. The Malaysian government does not cover their schooling. And so they're basically just living in these camps funded by the UN. So we're trying to raise money to build a shelter for them. We call it The Space. And our video team actually created this beautiful, amazing viral video that they're going to put up on YouTube. And the whole concept of the video is this Christmas, the greatest gift you can give is just a dollar or two to help us raise money to build a space for 900 refugee Burmese kids in Malaysia. And people in my team designed the video. Our copywriters wrote the script. A guy on our team who's an amateur musician composed the soundtrack. And we are getting this out there. And so we give our people a chance to contribute to the world, contribute to their local community here in Malaysia. At the same time, our company mission is spreading enlightened ideas. And our company mission is really to get enlightened ideas out to 500 million people by 2050. And by enlightened ideas, I mean anything that helps elevate human consciousness. We haven't figured out how we're going to measure this, but we know it includes ideas such as the importance of daily gratitude, the importance of setting big goals, the importance of having fun in the workplace. And so our company itself is on a mission to help improve the world. We're not just selling for the sake of revenue. And a primary motivator is helping ideas spread. And it's integrating this with our company that we've been able to add meaning to the lives of our employees and our stakeholders and our partners. And because of this, when people come to work every morning, they know that they are doing it for a good cause. See, why do people work for the UN? Besides sometimes the tough job work culture and the low salary, they work for the UN because they're contributing to humanity. And That's what we are choosing to do with our company. Give people a chance to contribute to humanity by having a great mission and by launching the Mind Valley Foundation. Now, let's say you run a dry cleaning business. Okay, maybe you can't really tie that to contribution to humanity, but you can start a small charity on the side or find a way to allow your employees to volunteer. That's always possible. And when you do this, you build a tighter-knit team, you create a bond with your employees. I can tell you, showing up to work every morning is so much more meaningful, so much more fun, and you're giving people a need, an emotional craving that they really crave on the inside, and that is contribution to the planet.
That's fantastic. So what you really did is you, instead of idealizing and fantasizing about what you thought people wanted, you actually looked at what people actually valued in business and then built your entire structure around helping them win.
Right. Rather than go with the status quo, employees will work for you if you give them a cot position, a good title, and money. We actually decided to screw everything we learned about recruiting and hiring, actually speak to people. And I've interviewed hundreds, maybe 200 people, and see a pattern in what their deeper emotional needs were, and then craft a company to cater to their needs. And once again, it's learning first. First and foremost, it's learning. Then it's fun. Third, it's money. Fourth, it's contribution to the world. And if you want to get an idea of how to reposition your company, I call this the job quadrant. If you want to get an idea of how to reposition your company, based on this, go to mindvalley.com/careers and swipe my job ad. You will see that I do not even have a job ad. What I really have is a manifesto on how companies should be treating their employees.
Fantastic. That's beautiful. Maybe we can squeeze in a little bit of conversation here about marketing.
Sure.
I know that you're switching from douchey marketing to something else. Can we talk about what that something else is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, we focus a lot on relationship marketing. Now, if you go to my website, theamericanmonk.com, theamericanmonk.com, you'll notice a couple of things unique about this website. Number one, there's no headline. It's a nice-looking website. And it's this 82, 83, his name is Bert Blumen. I've forgotten his age, but it's somewhere in the 80s. And Bert's one of our partners, and he's an author that we publish. So I own The American Monk. I came up with the brand, the trademark. And the idea was, how could we sell a marketing product without going through the usual blatant long copy style that will generate sales? But in the personal development field, I believe sometimes it generates some resistance. Especially now in 2009, we're noticing that resistance is increasing. People have seen those scarcity triggers, and they've gotten used to product launches. So with The American Monk, what we did was, on the main page, it simply talks about Bert's mission to spread meditation. You sign up for 7 free lessons from Bert. And when you sign up, you will see a one-time offer, and that's where you'll see the traditional direct response copy. But it's what happens after you sign up where the real magic takes place. When you sign up for The American Monk, Bert sells a product called the Mind Box, which is 22 CDs of different meditations. When you sign up for The American Monk, you go through 7 lessons. At the end of every 7 lesson, Bert gives away 3 audios. But only one audio is unlocked to you. To unlock the other 2 audios, you have to earn something called karma points. To earn karma points, you simply tell your friends about The American Monk. So the more friends you tell, and when these friends visit the website, your karma score goes up. The higher your karma score, the more audios you can download. If you tell enough friends, you can actually download half of Bert's Mind Box completely free. And some people go fanatical and they love it. So 95% of our audience gets many of Bert's audios for free. They get from 1 to 21 audios for free by going through the 7 lessons and by telling their friends and by increasing their karma point. But the 5% that choose to buy, this 5%, so far this year has generated over $2.5 million in sales for us. And that's how we make money. So that is a good model of how we have applied an interesting spin on traditional internet marketing to build a website where we have a huge fan following, where we aren't turning people away with douchey marketing, and we're building loyalty to Bert and to Bert's blog. If you actually go to blog.theamericanmonk.com, you'll see on a good blog post, Bert can get up to 800, I believe his best blog post has 1,500 comments, and he has a list of 120,000 people. Now, this is all our list. I run the entire business. But here's the catch. This business, okay, is only 2 years old. So we started it September 2007, and right now it has a run rate of close to $200,000 a month, and it's 2 years old. And we've managed to amass this huge list with this massive following, and without many of the heavy, high-pressure marketing tactics that some people in the industry use. Now, another example is Philosopher's Notes. Now, Philosopher's Notes, and it's spelled just the way it sounds, philosophersnotes.com. This, I believe, is one of the best products out there in personal growth. The guy we're working with, Brian Johnson, he is an amazing entrepreneur. He founded Zads and sold it for millions. Zads was the first social network for people in personal growth. Now, Brian summarized 100 of the greatest books in personal growth, and we've made available these 100 book summaries for a mere $47. For $47, you're getting 500 pages of book summaries and the equivalent of 30 audios. And that's a ridiculously low price for this industry. And if you go to the main page of Philosopher's Notes, you'll notice something else. Not only is there a ridiculously low price, but there is no copy. Instead, what we have on that main page is a comment form where users tell other users why they encourage you to buy the product. So there's no copy, not even a proper headline, just an open democratic space where users tell other users why they need to buy the product. And if you can't afford the product, you can apply for a scholarship. So you get the product for free. Now, this is really, really, really radical. We're literally pricing a massive product at a ridiculously low price, $47. We have no copy. Our users tell other users why they need to buy the product. If you can't afford it, if you're unemployed or if you're a college student with no money, apply for a scholarship and we'll just give it to you for free. Now, we are going so opposite everything that is considered sane in marketing that we just want to see how this plays out for us. Now, I'll admit, this entire website is only 2 months old. It may completely bomb. We don't know. Here we are gambling on something. We are trying to see if we can create something that's so high quality that word of mouth alone will generate the sales. So this is what I mean, Eben, when I say moving completely away from douchey marketing. But I'm not going to encourage anyone to try this. We are trying it because we have some 20 other websites and we want to do a radical experiment just to see how it goes. But if you have an online business, I mean, I'm sure you can learn something from philosophersnotes.com. But don't copy the model exactly because it may blow up in our face. We'll know 6 months from now.
That's great. Vishen, thank you very much for taking the time to share how you build your company. Some really great stuff on your culture and your team building and so forth. If someone wanted to check out your websites, look at your products, are there some other places they can go if they wanted to contact you about working with you? You know, how do they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Well, the best way is to go to finerminds.com, finerminds.com. Finerminds is my personal blog. We have over 250,000 subscribers. And it's basically a blog where I share ideas on personal growth and I bring in guest speakers and stuff. And also connect with me on Gratitude Log. The easiest way to connect with me is through Gratitude Log. Get on Gratitude Log, open an account. I'll immediately be added as your friend. And if you like this interview, shoot me an appreciation note, or if you want to contact me for a job or just seek my advice, contact me via Gratitude Log and I will for sure respond to you.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Vishen.
Thanks, Eben.